Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Kabaza, and today is a Friday, which means we get into the hard economics of the week. And no bigger story this week out of the local economy, you know, outside of the midterm budget speech that was given by Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana on Wednesday, and a number of things, you know, coming out from that specific address. You know, many issues around energy, many issues around Eskom, many issues around, you know, social distress, all of this. But one of the big running themes that we have been tracking on this platform is the issue of consumer pressure. All of the things that consumers are under right now, you know, whether it's inflation, whether, you know, you're talking interest rates, there's just a lot that is, you know, crippling consumer pockets and at the moment. So to help us to understand, you know, what that midterm budget speech means, you know, for, you know, ordinary South Africans and consumers, we are joined by Warren Wilkinson, who is a franchise principal and financial advisor at Consult by Momentum. Warren, greetings to you today.
Hi there, Mudiwa. Lovely to be on the show, and thanks for having me. Welcome to all your listeners.
Now, thank you so much, you know, for being with us today and, you know, sharing your insights. But before we get into, I guess, maybe the consumer-specific conversation, maybe you could give us maybe high-level, you know, what you were looking at, you know, in terms of either reading or listening to the speech, whatever analysis you're doing, what were there any things that you were looking out for? What stood out to you on the day?
Sure. Yeah, I think broadly there was a positive response from a fixed income and currency markets with governments adhering to, or our government adhering to, rebuilding fiscal buffers and maintaining a prudent approach to spending. It was quite encouraging to see that we had a nice tax overrun of about 84 billion, supported by a buoyant mining revenues, and that led to an upside and a surprise in corporate income taxes. So I think what everybody is still trying to just now see going forward, because obviously the medium-term policy budget statement is really just a pause to see how things have changed since February this year and what we could possibly look out for in what was going to be finalized when the budget speech happens in February 2023. I think the sort of positive part that we saw was the gross tax revenue, which exceeded government's February 2022 assumptions by 83.5 billion for the fiscal year. And that came on the back of rallying commodity prices that supported the mining revenues and led to an upside in surprise, actually, in corporate income tax. You know, so I think a lot of the comments that we've seen from the market is just how the government is going to be tightening their fiscal discipline around spending that money wisely, and a lot of emphasis on additional spending being given to the agencies that are managing to assist in fighting corruption and state capture. And the NPA is making progress, although that progress is slow. But as we all know, I think in terms of just making sure that our state-owned entities are run prudently, there was also an indication from government that they'll take between one-thirds and two-thirds of Eskom's debt onto the government balance sheet. And I know that for some people that may sound negative, but it is actually favorable in the sense that the market globally will see that as a positive view, in the sense that Eskom will then have another sort of level of governance overview and support of how that money is going to be spent, and making sure that Eskom can actually start moving into a place where they provide stable energy to the grid.
I think it's you know, quite interesting points that you're noting, especially that last one around the fact that Eskom and that debt being taken on by the government, certainly a one hopes that it's a development that at least frees up Eskom to, you know, do whatever it's meant to do, whether it be, you know, fast tracking whatever maintenance needs to be done, investing into whatever new parts, you know, just so that we can alleviate, you know, what's going on. So, on my end, you know, I'm a little bit, you know, more neutral on this, simply because, a lot of things tend to be, you know, well intentioned, you know, in the policy environment, but execution tends to be, you know, a bit tough sometimes. So certainly a good move in terms of at least knowing that, you know, a big part of Eskom's debt, you know, 400 billion isn't anything to what you call this, you know, to whisper at, right? It's a huge amount. So, you know, having those guarantees by the government, you know, it's a good thing. And I think, like you said, the market will take, you know, stuff like that, you know, positively, but how, you know, things then progress beyond this point is definitely going to be key. So, very importantly then, you know, Warren, is, you know, for the ordinary South African, for the consumer, because you and I can, you know, wax lyrical for the next hour, you know, geeking out about the economy, out about the economy and the speech, all its tenets and, you know, all of this. But for ordinary South Africans that, you know, either sat through the speech or maybe caught glimpses of it on the news, you know, they might be sitting there wondering, okay, fine, an hour-long speech, but what does it actually mean for me, you know, going forward, because I'm suffering at the moment, or, you know, it's been a tough year, understandably, for a lot of people out there. So, you know, your take on that front.
Absolutely. I think the consumer out there has been under increased pressure this year as, you know, inflation has been a problem globally. So I think the one thing to take comfort of in the face of rising interest rates and debt has become more expensive, your bond payments have gone up, car payments and any other debt that you've got, those debt costs have gone higher. And unfortunately, there's still a little bit of additional pain coming in the next quarter where they probably expect another 2 rate hike increases until such time as, although there have been some indicators that inflation is moderating, we're probably only expecting a cut in interest rates towards the end of 2023. So it's likely to remain a little bit tougher, although what is quite interesting to note, though, is that our current interest rate at 9.75 is a smidgen below the interest rate that we had pre-COVID. So we're not quite yet at a level where we were in terms of our interest rates pre-COVID. And I think that was evident in seeing how the debt-to-income ratio of households have actually improved over the last 2 years since COVID. And funny enough, you know, the spend of South Africans have actually marginally increased over the last couple of years, which is quite interesting if one considers that tough inflation environment. I think the other thing is just also that, you know, the economic activity has been further disrupted by a significant increase in both the frequency and intensity of the load shedding this year, and we touched on the Eskom challenge. What is, however, very, very interesting, Modiwa, is that if we look at the sort of SA manufacturing and mining activity industry versus emerging markets, is we've actually been going sideways for the last 12 years. You know, so I know we can blame Eskom for a lot of things, but our SA mining and manufacturing activity has actually been flat for the last 12 years, and also SA building plans passed in the last 14 years have actually been declining over that period. So I think what is concerning for us is to see that obviously the growth rate, because everybody is saying we're trying to recover out of a difficult environment, but you know, at an expected average economic growth rate of 1.7%, it's going to be still tougher for longer. And I think it doesn't help to say this, but I think it's comforting to know that the world at large is facing significant pain. But I think what is positive for the consumer as well is just that there's a significant amount of investment opportunity at the moment with the way that the markets have become under pressure because of the rise in inflation. And clients must just be, or people must just, you know, continue to save. They must stick to their investment strategies. And there's significant investment opportunities, especially in our local market, compared to the developed world out there.
Yeah, no, there's a lot that's going on out there, and whether we're talking about the energy costs, like what you said just now, the rising inflation, the interest rates, there is a lot going. But as an ordinary person on the street, how do you think we should be looking at Wednesday's budget speech? Do you think it was friendly, towards consumers, or was it more of we're in a crisis, we're all in a crisis as a country, and this is just our way of digging it out? Was it more business friendly? Because I know that the experts tend to have that line where you sort of judge to say, okay, fine, this was a business friendly budget or this was a consumer friendly budget. How should we be thinking around that specifically?
Yeah, I think in terms of detail, as far as the consumer is concerned, not a lot of detail comes out in the medium-term budget policy statement. Broadly speaking, I think the concern is with an indication of low growth in South Africa. Our concern is obviously, how practically the government is going to work with the private sector in sorting out state-owned entities and sorting out corruption and making sure that we get our country in a more investable state for offshore investing into South Africa, and then to create employment. We've got a massive unemployment problem. And I know that there's a CCMA hearing today between government employees and the government regarding the current wage offers that are going on. And I think, it is quite critical that we see more practical, and I think you touched on it. There's been a lot of talk in the last couple of years since COVID about how and what we're going to do, but there actually needs to be more action, and we actually need to see government working with private government in stimulating growth. Our corporate sector is sitting on a significant amount of cash at the moment. In fact, those cash reserves have been building significantly over the last 12 years as well. And it just shows the lack of confidence from corporate South Africa to actually invest in infrastructure in South Africa when there is this very little practical show of a commitment to sort out our structural challenges. I think what is encouraging, though, is the President's Energy Action Plan, where they've earmarked 80 private sector projects that'll bring 6,000 megawatts of energy at a tune of 85 billion rands worth of revenue. The Office of the Presidency also has improved the ease of doing business for over 4,000 small to medium-sized businesses. Governed having a very successful spectrum auction, which raised 14.4 billion for the fiscus. And that obviously was hailed as a welcome milestone that would lead to lower communication costs, expanded network reach to rural and outlying areas, and improved network quality. The wheel is turning, and we see a lot more evidence of the NPA making inroads into that. And then our government debt ratios have improved. There is obviously a commitment to fiscal discipline. And, it's like you and I, it's very easy to talk about our budget and to have our budget in the drawer, but it's to take it out and practically work with that budget. I think just the consumer is going to have to be very prudent in the way that they deliver their own personal budget, as much as we're trying to see government being a lot more prudent and disciplined with regards to how they spend their money. So, unfortunately, not a lot of look through and a clear idea in terms of consumer specific elements in this medium term budget policy statement. We'll obviously hear more about things like whether they're going to increase or decrease. Well, it won't decrease, but whether they would increase VAT, whether the tax scales are going to be adjusted, and we'll see a lot of those details obviously only in February.
Certainly right from that point of view. Usually, not a lot of detail comes out from the midterm, budget policy statement. However, just given how, you know, how tight things are for consumer pockets and, you know, business out there at the moment, I'm sure, you know, that any messaging that comes out of the government is, you know, being paid attention to and being put under an immense microscope, because people are looking for, you know, relief, you know, in one way or another. And also, you know, also good to look at the positives, like what you said. There are so many things that are wrong, but every once in a while we do need to, you know, take time to appreciate and at least acknowledge, you know, the positives, you know, as and when they go. Occur. Now, Warren, before we let you go, I want, you know, we want to pick your brain, you know, so that you put on your financial advisor, you know, hat at the moment. You know, maybe as you are, what you call this, you know, in this last part, you know, that financial advisor had to say, you know, maybe you could give us a little bit of a peering, you know, behind the curtain into, you know, the type of work that you're doing and how a budget policy statement like the one on Wednesday influences, you know, the type of engagements that you are having with clients.
Yes, thanks, Madiwa. I think the other positive thing that does have a bearing on where people invest and how they invest is just to know that the rating agencies are likely to keep our sovereign rating unchanged. So the near-term fiscal outcomes, they have improved since the rating agencies last opined on South Africa's sovereign rating. However, the other negative, just a small negative, is that we are likely to get grey-listed by the Financial Action Task Force, which in broad terms is not going to be such a major negative thing for South Africa. But the government has also again, you know, committed funding to the FIC and other agencies to make sure that we deal with those 40 points that we need to address. I think the other thing also to be confident about is that our tourism industry, which brings a lot of money in for South Africa, is still in a massive recovery phase. They obviously took a massive knock during COVID, but they are recovering nicely. I think just from a financial management perspective, I touched on the fact that as much as consumers are under pressure from an interest rate hiking cycle, they've got to remember that they've got to stay disciplined in their investment strategy. They need to stick to their long-term goals, because as much as portfolios have been hammered, and there's some portfolios where the clients are down 20-30% this year, they've got to just sit tight and know that there's, you know, the sentiment may be down, but the intrinsic value of their portfolio is not down. They've actually got to just sit tight through this the cycle, which, you know, if you look at all the damaging cycles that we've had since 1976 globally that affected our market, if you just sat tight and you never moved out of your portfolio, you would have had 12.5% compounded return annually. So what destroys value is when clients panic and they climb out of the market because they feel they've taken too much pain, and they try and time to get back into the market after the market has run again and it becomes too expensive. And that's how you destroy value. So we're spending a lot of time in the last year from a behavioral finance perspective to encourage clients to stick to their plans, maybe refresh their goals. But the fact that the market is down does not change their strategy, or should not change their strategy, especially if their goals are still 5 years and beyond. We're living in an environment where people are living longer, so longevity is a big challenge to be mindful of. And, you know, you can't climb out of growth assets because it's getting painful. You know, you've got to stick to a long-term view and make sure that you weather the storm. And as I said, South Africa is not absolved. You know, everybody talks about South Africa's debt, but the problem is the entire world took on an additional 20-30% of debt on their balance sheets as well during COVID. So we are not alone. The other countries, like our poor neighbor Zimbabwe, is sitting at 285% inflation this year, Argentina 72% inflation, Turkey at 73%. So there's a lot of other countries in the world that is taking pain and strain. But we've just got to sit tight. And I think the other thing that I've always been a very positive individual about South Africa. We're a major food security source for the SADC region. We've got a lot to offer as a country for the rest of Africa. I think it'll be nice to see how more positively we can scrum with our neighbors and other African countries in Africa to show the rest of the world how resilient we are. So I think we've got to remain positive. We've got to know that as we focus on being disciplined in our budgets, focusing on long-term investments and just making sure that we don't live beyond our means. And I think that's really what some key takeouts for our consumer, just on the basis of the budget speech that came out this week.
Very sage advice, and especially like you said, emphasizing that that positivity aspect. You know, to say that as bad as things are, it could be worse. Secondly, we have neighbors, we have people, compatriots, either other emerging markets or just other countries as a whole, because there's a pain, that the world has collectively felt through COVID-19. There's pain that the world is feeling collectively, given, everything that's going on this year, whether that's supply chain constraints, Russia-Ukraine war. So it's South Africa not only, going through this and, putting it in context, around the pains that neighbors are feeling and how bad some of those situations are, I think it is sobering and helps to contextualize, everything in people's minds. Lastly, on that positivity note, this one is just something that struck me as you were talking, Warren, is how does one even keep a positive mindset around everything that's going on? And the reason I ask that is not so much the positive mindset, but rather the resilience. Because in the world of investments, we know that growth, tends to happen over a long period of time. And, in that long period of time, there will be periods, peaks, troughs, downturns. There's a lot that goes on. But, when you look at the trend of, certain investments, stocks, for example, over a long period of time, there's a general upward trend. But what tends to scare people most of the time is that short-term pressure, because a person is feeling it today, right now. I want to put food on the table right now, but my investments aren't performing right now. So I think, just given the consumer pressure out there, any encouraging words around resilience, financially, because I'm sure right now it's very easy to be pessimistic in whatever aspect of, the financial system or the economy a person is looking at.
I think a lot of people, especially businesses that got hurt during COVID, was in principle because they didn't have an emergency fund. So, one of the basic building blocks when building a portfolio is you've got to make sure that the first bucket you address is making sure that you've got 3 to 6 months worth of saved salary ready, waiting in cash to deal with an emergency that could befall you, whether it's a death of a family member or you've all of a sudden got to replace 4 tires because you went through a pothole in Limpopo or whatever it may be. And I love Limpopo, by the way. I'm just using that as an example. But, there are going to be those emergencies. And I think what destroys value is when you've not planned for those emergencies by having cash on hand, that you then go to your portfolio and you yank money out of your portfolio for a bucket that was actually destined with a goal that was 3 to 5 years, and those assets aligned with that outcome. So we look very carefully to put various buckets in place that is aligned with the client's outcome over an investable period of, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years and longer, and trying to ensure that we are very clear with those objectives. So for example, retirement planning, if you've got 10 years or longer to retirement, you must understand that that's hitting age 65. You've got to then plan for another 30 years to ensure that money lasts to age 90, 95 because of longevity. So you can't get to age 65 and panic and say, well, I'm going to yank it all out into cash because I don't believe I'm going to be able to survive. Well, you most certainly won't if you take that strategy. But your retirement funding should be in growth assets. And to your point, it's not trying to time the market with your growth assets. You've got to give that time in the market. And then the other positive thing about saving monthly is that you take advantage of what is called rand cost averaging. So as the markets are going up and down on a month by month basis, over time, by investing on a monthly basis, a little bit by little bit, your 1,000 rand or 500 rand or whatever it is that you're saving monthly is buying a fair value. As I said, it doesn't reflect the true intrinsic value. So you look at something like Naspers is trading at a discount of 36%. Anglo-American is trading at a discount of 41. Sasol is trading at a discount of 51%. So now is the time to put money into the market. But from a behavioral finance perspective, that's what scares people. So they are not, they're not keen to put money in when people are crying, because that's when you should be buying if you listen to Warren Buffett, you know. And it's when people are yelling, you know, that you should be selling. So I think it is key to have the right team behind you, to have a quality certified financial planner with the appropriate tools and experience to guide you and make sure from a behavioral finance perspective, you don't make the mistakes of destroying value by trying to time the market or panic unnecessarily with the assets that should be sweating for you over a right goal timeline, whether it's 3 years, 5 years, or 7 years or longer, you know?
All right. So that's been it. Very fascinating discussion, just going through the midterm budget policy statement from Wednesday. Some insight into some of the, you know, high level, you know, big points that came out specifically. I think some of the big ones are around energy, but, you know, we spent a long time focusing on the pressure that consumers are under at the moment, contextualizing, painting a picture of all the, you know, all the pain that consumers are under at the moment, and some of the ways that government is trying to come to, you know, the party. But, you know, very scarce detail from that, you know, from that budget speech, and hopefully we'll get a little bit more detail come February next year. One of the big things that Warren is talking about is the fact that, you know, despite how bad things are, it is just good to look at what's going on in the market and, you know, sort of appreciate the fact that, one, things could be worse, and then secondly, the fact that, you know, out there in the world collectively, you know, the world is, you know, in a bad place. 20-30% more debt added to balance sheets, you know, globally, you know, many countries all looking to address the same issues as are being addressed in South Africa, and then ending off, you know, trying to strike that positive note, you know, to say that, you know, if you are going to be investing or saving, you know, you just need to have some emergency funds available to help to weather some of those, you know, unplanned, you know, circumstances, situations that might occur. If you're a business, 3 to 6 months worth of salary. If you're an individual, maybe a household, you know, having those expenses on hand, you know, just so that when times of trouble come, you're not caught unaware. And then in the market, you know, just appreciating the fact that things tend to go up over the long term, and that there might be some short-term pain, but over the long term, you know, there tends to be, you know, all of that gain. So that's been it. Fascinating conversation. We were talking to Warren Wilkinson, who is a franchise principal and financial advisor at Consult by Momentum. Warren, thank you so much for being with us.
Madiwa, thank you for having me, and it's been a pleasure chatting to you. Thanks very much.
This is Madiwa's Tech.
Very fascinating conversation, and I think, you know, that positivity note is definitely something that we do need to strike. It's not easy, I'll definitely admit that, because, you know, people are having their pains today. I'm personally feeling the pain today. So, you know, looking out into the long term, you know, thinking about what's going on in other territories, other countries, you know, it does seem a little bit hard to do just given the pressure. But, you know, it does remain a fact, you know, the fact that out there in the world, everyone collectively is going through this. It's not only the South African government that's grappling with how to address, you know, all of the macroeconomic and microeconomic issues that are affecting the world right now. Going forward, as I said during the discussion, the issue of execution is a very important and a very big one, you know, on, you know, most of the major points, particularly around the energy issue. Great that a big portion of Eskom's budget ends up being taken up by government. It's something that we spoke about last week, I think, on the platform. But, you know, what does it mean going forward? What's the execution going to be like? Because the reason why that they do all of this stuff is so that they can free up Eskom as a utility to go out into the market and do whatever they're meant to to do, whether it be the investing in new plant and equipment, especially the maintenance. That's been a big issue right now around all of the unplanned outages that we've been having. I think at the moment, load shedding just seems to be just an hour consistent part of life, right? So that execution going forward is definitely going to be key. And then on a last note is some of those considerations for consumers, for businesses, is at the next budget, the main budget that comes in February, how do we take some of the themes and actually push them forward, right? Obviously, come that time, we will be in a slightly different place, but it's unlikely that we will be too far different from where we are right now. So it's likely that some of the conversations that we're having right now around those pressures will still be there. And one of the big things that always comes up in budget speeches is VAT, right? Oh, are they going to put up VAT? Are they going to put up VAT? Because there's impetus to actually increase collections and fund state coffers and all that. But could we see a situation where there's a slight reversal? For a long time, VAT in South Africa sat at 14%, and then it moved up to 15. Could we see a reversal on that end as a way? Because that's something that brings immediate relief. That's an immediate thing, where a person is paying less VAT. Is that something that's on the table, or are things at that point where we need to be continuing to push up the revenue collection so that the government can fund, all of these interventions that they have? We wait to see, but as we continue to say, execution, execution, execution. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.